Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast in association with the Racing Post Members Club with David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Tom Park. This is the dream team that's never actually happened before, and you've got it live in front of your very own eyes for the first time. Robbie Wilders, Tom Park and David Jennings, welcome everybody to the Racing Postcast. How are you doing, lads? Tom Park, I don't think I've ever done a postcast with you.
Yeah, I don't know if we have. Maybe one, I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely a rarity, so can't wait, looking forward to it.
I think I'm definitely the worst looking member of this group anyway today, but anyway, we'll kick on. Robbie Wilders, how's your form?
Doing well, thanks, mate. Yeah, yourself?
Not too bad, yeah. I'm knee-deep in a Willie Mullen stable tour at the moment, which is out on Monday, 6 o'clock Sunday evening for Racing Post Members Club members, and it's in the paper on Monday, so I'm knee-deep in that at the moment. And let's just say it's not a thoroughly enjoyable experience. It's a labour of love. It's about 10,000 words. Are you coming back to me with a reply there, Robbie? No.
Sorry, I was watching the.
you had zoomed out.
I've just crashed out the place pot. So I was investing in that. It does. I mean, I used to sub those back in my old role, and they take an awfully long time. So I have a lot of respect for what you're doing. It needs to be done, but it is tiring.
Okay, and very hard luck with your play spot there at Newbury, Robbie. So we're going to crack on with the action. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious. We've got plenty to cover. And the first race we're going to kick off with on Saturday is the 1:15 at Wincanton. It's the Boodles Conditional Jockeys Handicap Chase. And currently, Hugo is currently our 92 favourite, best price in the industry at the moment. Another Crick is 7-1. Midnight Midge is also 7-1. Volkova is 15-2. Dibble Decker is 8-1, and it is 10-1 bar. Robbie, we'll kick off with you. Kick us off with a winner, please.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I thought out of all the races we're going to preview, this was by far the most difficult. So I'm going to pass this one on to my friend Tom there.
Oh, Lord. Such a start. Holy
Straight
God.
Away. Okay.
Straight away.
No big pressure, right? Race, man.
Follow that, Tom. How do you follow that, Tom?
He wants to pass it as well.
Even if you give us a loser, even if you give us a horse that trails in last of all the runners here, you would be doing a better job than Robbie Wilders.
Well, yeah. I'm quite surprised at the price of one of them here. So I quite like Volkova.
To be honest, I couldn't pronounce it either. Yeah, if you heard my attempt.
Look, she's slid down the handicap quite a lot. I think she was rated 132 at the start of last year. She's come right down. And look, she's been beaten by a horse called Le Renommé on her last two starts. The form of the last run at Ludlow, it's worked out particularly well. She was second. I think she's beaten half length or something. Le Renommé, struggle to say that one as well. She's up £13 since then. The third is up £16. That's Walking Clover. They pulled 14 lengths clear, so it looks like quite a good race. I think she went up a couple of pounds that run. I think she's definitely well handicapped. It's just this stage of the season, whether she's fit enough, but she's won first time out before. Liam Harrison is a very good £3 claimer for the Fergal O'Brien team. So yeah, it is Volkovka for me.
It's like a pronunciation postcast at the moment so far. We're 5 minutes in and the pronunciation hasn't been, let's just say, fantastic. But it is the horse that neither of us can pronounce. We think it's Volkovka. I think it's Volkovka. That's what I'm going to go with for Tom Park. The one that I liked at a bit of a price was Alto, who I thought was a little bit overpriced at about 9-1. Hasn't been seen since May, but was sent off 2-1 favourite to defy a mark of 114 at Plumpton, down a pound to 113. I thought the win prior to that Plumpton was a good performance, so I'm going to take a chance on Alto Alto in the 1:15. And Robbie Wilders has no selection whatsoever. Moving on to the Rising Star Novices Chase at 1:50. Nappers Hill is all the rage here at 8-13, best price in the industry. Captain Combi for Dusty Sheehy and Tom Bellamy is 4-1. Diane Star, the unbeaten Diane Star, winner of a point-to-point and two wins on the rules, is 7-1. Javega, who I think could have a big season this season, is 8-1 for Jamie and Gary Moore. Lady Adair, 16-1, opening bid, 33-1. Well, Robbie, you started with a whimper. Can you come in with a bang here?
Yeah, I mean, it's better to draw 0-0 than lose 1-0, isn't it? So I think I'm going to go 1-0 up now with Nappers Hill. It's not exactly original, but I mean, if this was a handicap, he'd be getting £13 from He'd be conceding £13 to the second favourite. He'd be conceding about £25 to the rest of the horses. Do you think he's the best horse in the race? I know he lost on his chasing debut at Chepstow, but Unexpected Party was a pretty smart second season novice. He kept a good company last season. And I thought there was plenty to like. He jumped pretty well. Paul Nicholls said in the stable tour, he's not sure, too sure about soft ground for him. But I mean, you look at his form, he's managed to beat Goshen in the select hurdle at Sandown, going right-handed on soft ground. So I think there's nothing wrong with the surface whatsoever. And I think he's going to be very tough to beat.
Tom Park, this is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I was quite impressed with him, even though he got beat at Chepstow. What I liked, I think it was three out. He kind of just took off and he had about six or seven lengths to find with Unexpected Party at the time. He was getting quite an easy time of things up front. But it was the way that he kind of took off. He didn't quite get alongside, but he just tired towards the end. He just screamed of a horse that was crying out for the run. I'm less concerned about the ground. A couple of seasons ago, he looked like he was a real top of the ground horse, but he's got some decent form on soft ground now. He jumped brilliantly. And I just think that he's Unexpected Pie was a second season novice. He's going to have an advantage over these in the jumping department, I would think. I would agree with you with Javerga. He's the horse that I am fearing the most. I think he is set for a decent season and I can't wait to see what he does over fences. But it's a tall, tall, tall task, I think, to take on Nappers Hill first time out. So, yeah, unoriginal, but Nappers Hill for me.
Three votes for Nappers Hill. Currently, best price, 8-13. Nappers Hill has been supported. Final declaration. Obviously, it's a tasty race, but we think that Nappers Hill is going to make a tasty chaser. Moving on to the 225. It's the Badger Beer Handicap Chase. And the lovable Frodon is currently our 3-1 joint favourite with 300 through 5. The big breakaway is 13-2, who's broken my heart on many an occasion. Also 13-2, Ashtown Lad. Sam Brown, 10-1. 11-1 forward plan. It is 12-1 certainly red. We'll go for a full show. Ballygriffin Cottage is 14-1. 16-1 Gustavian. It is 16-1 Blackjack Magic and 25-1 outsider of the fields. The horse who wins plenty of races. Cortland, Tom Park. Have you a strong opinion here?
I think Frodon will win.
Is that the heart or the head or is it both?
I would say the head, really. I just think that he won this brilliant style last year. He didn't run awfully badly after that. And to get him back down to the same mark, at this stage of the season, horses that you absolutely know this is their Gold Cup, and it is absolutely Frodon's Gold Cup, I would think. That's a significant advantage. So I am going to side with Frodon. 300 through 5 is a horse who is very much on my radar this season. He was so last season. He's had a wind up over the summer. I think that's going to bring out significant improvement. I just wonder whether he'll come on for this. I'm happy to leave him alone, particularly at the prices, and he's actually a good bit shorter than I thought. I think Frodon at around 3-1 is a solid bet here. I couldn't put anyone off who's fancy. I certainly wouldn't want to be laying Frodon. At a massive price, I think certainly Red has got some form to kind of mix it with these. Again, it just boils down to the fact that who's going to kind of come on for this. And I just really like the fact that Frodon's going to be fit and firing. So it will be Frodon for me.
Even you, Robbie Wilders, even you, who's like, you know, hard-hitting form expert, even you can appreciate the beauty of Frodon, I'd say, can you?
I love Frodon, yeah. I mean, he's done us all a few favours over the years. He's got to be your favourite jump source around. But I don't know. Is he at his best on soft ground? It's completely different conditions to when he won this last year. It was really quick last year. It's going to be pretty soft. I don't know if he's in love with it completely. He's got to give a lot of weight away to some interesting young horses. The horse I nearly put up in the Anti Postman earlier in the week was Blackjack Magic. He's about 16-1. I like him. The only reason I didn't put him up was because he was entered extra on Friday, but he's running here. Anthony Honeywell runs four, Rex Dingle's up, so that suggests he's the stable number one. But this horse essentially loves soft ground. He's only run four times over fences. He's a very progressive novice chaser last year, and he's only going off 10 stone 2. So I think there should be a lot more to come. And I don't know what you lads think about this, but in terms of horse's weight, I mean, he's on his last five starts, he's carried 11 stone 10, 11 stone 7, 11 stone 8, 12 stone 1, 11 stone 13. And now I know it's a better race, but he's only off 10 stone 2. I mean, that's got to make some sort of difference. It doesn't really get spoken about. I don't know what you think, but Blackjack Magic.
It's like I've been on him for his last couple of starts, and then one of yous has taken over in the saddle. So it's Blackjack Magic for you at a standout 16-1. We like that, Robbie. And it was almost part of the anti-postman earlier on in the week. So punters, I'm sure, will be latching on to that. It is Froden for Tom Park. 3 under 2.5 is one of those horses who I think there is a big handicap in him, but I don't think there's a really big handicap in him, if that makes sense. So I just wonder, is this the one? I don't think he's going to win a Grand National. I don't think he's going to win a Coral Gold Cup. I wonder, is this his big chance? He's off 147. The problem here is that he's not, you know, he's not a 155 horse. He's probably 150 horse. So he might have 2 or 3 pounds up his sleeve. I just wonder, is this his day? Harry Cobden takes over in the saddle. Hasn't ridden him for ages because Adrian Heskin was the stable jockey for the McNeil. So I don't know. I just think this could be the day for 3 under 2.5. So I am going to side with him for all that. I don't think he's particularly decent value at around about 3-1.
Paul Nicholls has an incredible record in this race, doesn't he? I think he's we did something the weekend of this week. He's plus 45.5, I think, in this race, which is pretty phenomenal. And that's like, it's not just a couple of big price wins. I think he's had 10 wins. Well, I'll get it up here. 10 wins.
Well, Present Man definitely won it twice. And then I remember Harry Cobden gave Gimme a Copper an absolute peach of a ride to win. Yeah, and obviously, yeah. Froden won it last year. So I'd say he's won it 4 times since maybe 2017.
Yeah, he's won it 10 times in total, which is pretty phenomenal out of 48 absolutely runners.
So yeah, the chances are he could win it again here because he's got Froden and 3 under 2.5. So it's Froden for Tom Park, 3 under 2.5 for myself. And Robbie Wilders is going with the flyer. Blackjack Magic for Robbie at 16-1. That is what's going to be a cracking Badger Beer Handicap Chase at 2:25. Moving on to the 3 o'clock. It is the beautifully named Jennings Bet Elite Hurdle. And Rubaugh is currently our 5-6 favourite. Hansard is 7-4. West Balboa, who's doubly engaged, remember that, also entered at Aintree, is 10-1. 40-1 Sacre Coeur. Glorious Off is 50-1. And I can't wait to hear what Robbie Wilders has to say about this. It looks like a match on paper. Is it going to develop into a match, or is one of the best bets of the weekend in this race, Robbie?
Yeah, I think it probably will. West Balboa is worth saying. First preference is for that Aintree race. And I think you just look at her profile, it'd be a surprise, really, if you step down from 3 miles at Aintree to go back down to 2 here at Wincanton. I think it is a match. Rubaugh has to give Hansard £6. That might be tricky. I'm not sure. Rubaugh, all of his form's on a pretty sound surface. He didn't show much on soft one time he encountered it as a novice last season. I mean, Paul Nicholls obviously happy to run him, but I don't know. I think giving £6 to Hansard might be tricky. I mean, the way he travelled when he was 4 foot Aintree in that grade one was quite eye-catching. He looked like a very good horse there. I don't know. The question is, how fit is he going to be his first time out? Rubo's had a run. But he was entered to run on the flat a couple of weeks ago at Nottingham, but that meeting was cancelled. So I think I might take it on trust. I mean, Gary Moore's had quite a few first-time out horses running really well this season. So preference would edge towards Hansard for me.
So, Robbie, you say that Gary Moore's stable have had some decent horses run well first time out, but he's only had 2 winners from his last 33 runners, would you believe? Would you be worried about stable form going into that race, even though he did have a winner at Warwick the other day and Botox has won at Wetherby on Saturday?
Yeah, I must admit, I wasn't in tune to those numbers. That's quite striking. But, I mean, I was really impressed with what Botox has last week. And going back, I mean, we were on a couple of weeks ago, weren't we? I think Haddix de Zobo would have won that race if he didn't fall down to last. So I'm not overly concerned by that. I just think getting the £6 is probably going to tilt it in his favour on this ground.
Okay, so we've 1 vote for Hansard. I think Rubaugh will win. I think that run under his belt. And I thought he was quite impressive at Kempton. That'll do for me. 1 vote for Rubaugh. 1 vote for Hansard. Tom Park, you have the casting vote, my friend.
Yeah, I really like Rubaugh here. I think he's probably a good thing. He just oozed class at Kempton last time. I do agree with Robbie's point about there's slight concern about the ground, which would probably stop me going really. But I just think that this is a class horse. He's looking better and better with each run. He had a couple of blips last year. The Betfair hurdle was just a really muddling race, so you can put a line through that. The other time it was on soft ground when he was beaten by a good horse. I think he's miles better now. He just, those couple of runs at the end of last season were properly good. And he beat some good horses on his comeback at Kempton. I think there was like the likes of Soul Royal and First Street in there. So that's pretty solid form. I think he'll take all the beating here. And I think if you're getting just a short of even money, I think absolutely, I think he's a good thing.
It's two votes for Rubo. A good thing, according to Tom Park. I think he'll win, but I don't think he's a good thing. And Hansard is the selection of Robbie Wilders. Moving on to the final race we're going to preview at Wincanton on Saturday. It's a 3:32. It is a Jennings Bet Richard Barber Memorial Mayor's Handicap Hurdle. Lime Avenue after wind operation is 9-4 favourite. I Love the Nightlife, as my two guests do, is 4-1. Vicky Vale is 11-2. 6-1, Plenty of Time. 8-1, Great Snow. We're going to keep going because Space Voyage is 16-1. 22-1, Good Luck Charm. And Astrava Du Berlay is 25-1. Parky, we'll kick off with you here.
I'd be really keen on Vicky Vale, but I have a nagging doubt about the Skelton form. Might be that I've just backed a couple of his losers this week, which ran pretty poorly, but he is 6 from 52 in the last 2 weeks, which for Dan Skelton this time of year is not really brilliant.
But the wind operation is a big deal here, because we all know with Vicky Vale, like Vicky Vale, if any of our listeners or viewers have seen Vicky Vale run, she's a tearaway who stops very quickly sometimes, but she did find a little bit of taunting last time, but she's had a wind operation and that might get the best in her.
I think you're right. I'm going to back her still. She was dead impressive first time out last season. And as you said, when she kind of gets loose at the end, she can be absolutely devastating. Dan Skelton obviously thinks loads of her because she was pitched, I think, second time out last year. She ran the Challow. So to pitch her in a grade one against the boys straight after a maiden win, they obviously think she's quite good. She flopped again in a grade two behind You Wear It Well. But you can excuse that. She's racing off a mark of 118. I suspect the Skeltons will have been thinking that she was going to be miles better than that at the start of last season. I'm going to take a chance. I have a nagging doubt about the form of the stable, but they've had winners. It's not as if they're like, and as I said, it could just be a recency bias that I've just backed a couple of losers, and it might not be anything to do with the form of the stable. But yeah, Vicky Vale is the one for me here. The wind up is the big thing. I think you're absolutely right. That could be the key to her.
Okay, so it's Vicky Vale for Tom Park. Robbie, could Lime Avenue, who also has had a wind operation, be absolutely chucked in here off 118?
I think so, yeah. I think there are three really well-handicapped horses. We spoke about one of them, Vicky Vale. Lime Avenue's the other, and I Love the Nightlife is the other. Lime Avenue, the concern for me is the ground. We know she's also had a breathing done, but Paul Nicholls stressed in his stable tour that he wants it to dry out before Wincanton. I'm not sure exactly how much it's going to. My sort of assessment was it's probably going to be pretty soft going. So I'd be against her. I'll probably have a reverse forecast on Vicky Vale and I Love the Nightlife. For all the reasons you've outlined about Vicky Vale, sort of reminds me of a bit of West Balboa for the same connections a couple of seasons ago. We didn't see the best of her until she started handicapping in the second season over the hurdles. I think you're going to see a lot more from Vicky Vale this season. I mean, with Trish and Doral's £5 claim, she's effectively running off 113. She's definitely better than that. It's just if he can keep a lid on her. I Love the Nightlife, we should also talk about. This filly won the Grade 2 Mayor's Handicap at Newbury. It's been won by some good horses in recent times. Snow Leopardess, Annie Mack, Roxana, the Grade 1 winner for the Skeltons. She was carrying more weight than all of them. And they all progressed to be sort of 150 plus mares. She's off 125. You can ignore her next start at Cheltenham. She went off a 9-2 chance for a listed race. That came on really quick ground. She was giving weight away to mares like a horse of no name who followed up at Royal Ascot. I think she's an interesting one. And I could see Lime Avenue taking a bit of a drift in the market myself. So for me, it's between those two.
Excellent. So those are the races we're previewing at Wincanton. Before we get stuck into Newcastle and Aintree, we're going to have a look at the 220 at Down Royal. I'll be there. It is the Ladbrokes Champion Chase. And Jerry Calam, your second favourite for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, is your 5-6 favourite. A little bit on the drift from 4-5. 4-1 Manila Indo, conflated as 6-1 with last year's winner. Envoy LN, also a 6-1 shot. Robbie, Jerry Calam, where do you stand with him? Is he a genuine Gold Cup contender?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But is he a genuine Down Royal Champion Chase winner? I don't know. I mean, of course he is. He's probably the best horse in the race at the moment. But, I mean, you did the stable tour of Elliott, didn't you? He's come out and said it's all about Cheltenham. I don't know exactly how fit he's going to be. I think that's the key, really. But I think he's got three pretty decent rivals to beat here. They've all had a run behind them. I think Envoy Allen's interesting. His form behind Gentleman's Game is looking much better now after what he did against Brave Man's Game. Even conflated, you'd expect big improvement for his return behind Manila Indo. He was giving Manila Indo a lot of weight that day. And Manila Indo himself was quite revitalised. So, I don't know. I think the percentage call for me is just to lay Jerry because I don't know how ready he's going to be. Ooh. And I think any one of the three could beat him.
Robbie Wilders is laying Jerry Calam, the biggest challenger to Gallop in the Champs, according to the market in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Robbie Wilders is laying him. Where do you stand, Tom Park, with Jerry Calam?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how he gets on this season. But I'm kind of siding with Robbie. And if I want to be against him at all, this is probably before Cheltenham anyway. This is probably the race that I'd like to take him on with. I just think the betting's all wrong. I can't believe Envoy Allen is the outsider of a lot of them. I mean, has he ever been beaten at Down Royal? I don't think he has.
Never been beaten at Down Royal.
Yeah, he won this race last year. Like, I think the general consensus of his Ryanair win was that he kind of got lucky and Shishkin kind of flopped. But he oozed class through that race. He won quite easily in the end. Yeah, Shishkin didn't show up, but he was certainly, even if Shishkin shows up, he was certainly the second best in that race. I just think when things fall for Envoy Allen, he does seem to show his class. And I think this will have been, bar Cheltenham in March, this will have been the big target for the De Bromheads, given that he was impressive in this race last year. He's unbeaten at the track. I thought his first run out was perfectly acceptable. I really like him. I think 6-1 is a massive, massive price. I thought he'd be about 5-2. So, 6-1, I'm more than happy to get involved there.
What was it? You make a very interesting case, but was also interesting as part of your case was, do you ever notice consensus is one of those words that you can't say without saying general beforehand? So you have to say general consensus. It's utterly bizarre.
Yeah, it is quite a superfluous word in that sense. Yeah. You don't really need to say it, do you?
No, you don't, but everybody does. So, like, the general consensus is that everybody says general before consensus, which is quite strange. But you make a compelling case for Envoy LN, who, the better the ground, the better chance he has. It's been dry enough over the last 48 hours here in Ireland. So I do think he is interesting, but he's just one of those. You just never know what he's going to do, do you? You never know what Envoy LN is going to do.
One thing I would say was, he did drift from long odds on to about 13-8 before Gorham. That takes a bit of doing. So I imagine he probably wasn't ready. I know he won it first time out last season, but maybe they've trained him differently. I don't know. But
Heavy ground. He has wind issues, so heavy ground at Gorham Park would have been completely against him. I do think you're right. I do think he's interesting. But I am against you lot. This is the day that Jerry Calam announces himself onto the big stage. I think he's a 7-year-old. I think Envoy LN conflated and Manila Indo, they've all been exceptional horses, but they're either going to plateau or they're going to get worse. Jerry Calam is going that way. They're all going that way. And I think he's the big improver in the race. And I think he is going to get the job done. But it's going to be fascinating. That is the Ladbrokes Champion Chase. It's not to be missed. It's 2:20 at Down Royal on Saturday. And join us after the break, where we'll be getting stuck into the cards at Newcastle and Aintree.
Do you want over £500 in free bets? Well, the best free bet offers are now all in one place. Head to racingpost.com/freebets where you can find all the offers from your favourite bookmakers. Click the link in the description to find out more.
Yes, welcome back to the Racing Postcast brought to you by the Racing Post Members Club with David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Tom Park. And we're going to go all weathering. So we are. It is the Virgin Bet Daily Extra Places Irish EBF Gillies Filly Stakes. My God, that is a mouthful. It is a listed race. It's over a mile, 2 furlongs and 42 yards. It is a wide open affair, but currently your favourite at the moment is 3-1 Vale of Shadows, Mukadama 6-1, 7-1 Sound Angela, Persist is 9-1, and it's 10-1 Bar. Tom Park, what wins? The Virgin Bet, Daily Extra Places, Irish EBF, Gillies, Philly Stakes, a listed race.
Easy beauty, sir. I like Vale of Shadows. I think that, but Charlie Appleby's been a little, he's had a bit of a disappointing season for his ridiculously high standards, but he is right back in form. She was second in the Group 3 last time, beaten by a progressive filly of Gary Moore's, I think we were talking about earlier, in Novus, but had some good horses in behind, likes of Boogie Woogie and Unless, and including Persist and Mukadama, who reappears here. They have 16 and 30 lengths to find with Vale of Shadows, so on that run anyway. I just think, I think Vale of Shadows is, I think she's rock solid here. I'll be getting involved. It's a tricky little race, but look, Charlie Appleby's, they're flying at the moment. I think he's going to have a good day at Newcastle. So, yeah, and it'll kick off with this one. So, Vale of Shadows for me.
Well, you spoke about Charlie Appleby's good form there. From his last 18 runners over the last fortnight going into Thursday evening's racing, he's had 6 winners, 4 seconds and 2 thirds. So his team could not be in better form, the Charlie Appleby team. And of course, he won with Master of the Seas in the Breeders' Cup Mile, and also just hit the crossbar with Silver Knot at Santa Anita as well. Robbie Wilders, what wins the Virgin Bet Daily Extra Places, Irish EBF, Gillies, Philly Stakes, a listed race?
Christ. I get what Parky's saying about Vale of Shadows. She's obviously finished ahead of a few of these last time. Mukadama was sort of nowhere to be seen there. But Mukadama, looking at her profile, she just doesn't like soft ground. Whenever she's run on soft, she's flopped badly on it completely. And she's 1-1 on the all-weather. Basically, I think the form of her second John Musker Stakes at Yarmouth is probably the best piece of form in this. And that was only 2 starts back. She's beating Infinite Cosmos, who's considered an Oaks contender in the season. Alasifa. Some pretty solid fillies there. And I just sort of like hold-up horses at Newcastle. I think that kind of style of racing suits that track. I think she'll definitely be in the shake-up, and you're getting 4 places. So she'll do for me each way.
What was the name of her again? I just missed because I was watching the finish to Allegory de Massey in the background there.
What happened in that?
I'm sorry. Allegory de Massey won.
Thank you. Mukadama.
Mukadama for you. It is Vale of Shadows for Tom Park. And I thought Sound Angela was really interesting here for Roger Varian and David Egan. She's one of these fillies, Sound Angela, who has been unlucky so many times in her career. And I do think a race like this is just perfect for her. There shouldn't be any hard luck stories in Newcastle. I think she's a big player, Sound Angela. So there you go. It's Vale of Shadows for Tom Park, Mukadama for Robbie Wilde, Angela for myself. Moving on to the 205 at Newcastle, the Virgin Bet every Saturday, Money Back Wentworth Stakes, also a list of race. Sense of Duty back from his run on Champions Day, 5-2, 13-2 Brad the Brief, Al Bashir, my old buddy, old pal, is 8-1, Juan Lepins is 8-1, it is 11-1 Bar. Robbie, you can go first on this Wentworth Stakes.
Yeah, I mean, basically all of these, apart from Sense of Duty, are kind of high-class handicappers. So I think you would really be disappointed.
I did call, erroneously, I did call Sense of Duty. Yeah, she is, of course, a she. Sorry, continue.
It's all right, mate. We were gonna let that slide. It's fine. It's nice you tone up. But Sense of Duty, I think, well, we were hoping she was going to be a Group 1 horse this season. She went off 14s for the Champion Sprint at Ascot. Don't know exactly what went wrong there, but I feel like it's always been a rush to get her there. She put up her most sort of demonly performance at Newcastle over this course and distance when she beat Anaf nearly 5 lengths in the Chip Chase Stakes last season. So she clearly likes it on the sand. And I think she's a strong fancy. Short enough price, but I think she'll beat these. I think that she's in a different league to these.
In a different league, Sense of Duty for Robbie Wilders. Tom, do you agree?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think she is in a different league. I'm surprised she is actually as big as she is. I thought after declarations, the one that I was fearing that was in the race was significantly, and when he wasn't declared, I thought, I expected her to be a good bit shorter than she is. I still think she might go off a good bit shorter than 5-2 available. But similar to what Robbie said, I think her comeback run after, I think she was off for about 450 days or something, that was perfectly not acceptable run from a long layoff. And then it was obviously the big target was the champion sprint. She didn't run very well there, but there was a lot of good horses didn't run very well there. It was a bit of a muddling race. I think you can absolutely forgive her. And if you are in a forgiving mood and you do forgive her, she's miles better than these. You just go back to that run in a couple of years back when she bolted up in the group three here. I think the return to Newcastle is definitely going to be in her favour. She's the highest rated horse in the field. Look, it's surely going to be disappointing if she doesn't win. I think she's a really good bet at 5-2, I have to say.
Wow, from listening to the two lads, those numbers are the wrong way around. She should be 2-5, not 5-2. Sense of duty for the two boys. Moving on to the 3:45 in Newcastle. The occasion that sees the bet of the day, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Virgin Bet, November handicap. It's only worth 36 grand to the winner. Wouldn't you think the November handicap be worth a lot more than that? Local Dynasty is currently our 9-2 favourite. Chillingham is 7-1. 15-2. Timusius Fox, it is 8-1 Mr. Allen, 9-1 Beraz, 9-1 Laffy, and it is 12-1 Mutazayed. Furzig is 18-1, and it's 20-1 Bar. I think there's a good thing in this race, boys. Tom, we'll see. Can you find it first? Okay, so we'll kick off with you. See if you found the good thing here.
Well, I like the favourite local dynasty. Yeah, I suspected it wouldn't be.
Go for it. Make your case. Try and get me off my good thing.
I just think he's got tons of class compared to some of these. He's third in the D-Stakes, third in the Golden Gate. Unlucky fourth at the July meeting. He's been gelded since. Look, this. I think if it wasn't the big plan, they'd have maybe kept him for something, maybe in Maidan or something later on next year. They've kind of got him back. I just think of the fact that he's entered after a bit of a layoff is a big pointer. And yeah, I think he takes all the beating here. The one that I fear the most, we'll see if it's this one, is Timusius Fox. Is that how you pronounce it? I quite like Local Dynasty here, so I'll be siding with him.
Okay, Local Dynasty for Tom Park. Robbie Wilders,
I know.
Have you found the good thing in the November handicap?
Yeah, it's not a good thing for the rest of us, but it is for you. It's Laffy, isn't it?
Hey!
Make your case first, mate, please.
Okay, well, Laffy is a horse that has been on my radar all season, let me tell you. Okay, so when Laffy won his maiden last season at Nottingham, under Kieran Fallon, would you believe? Kieran Fallon's only ridden this horse three times. He's won twice on him. But at Nottingham, it was like he was really well backed and did everything wrong in the race, traded a huge price in running and absolutely flew home to get on top of the line. Like, Balance Play was fourth that day, okay? Balance Play has had a terrific season this season. Now rated 101 as Balance Play after winning, I think, three times this season. I thought going into this season that Laffy could potentially make up into not a Derby winner, but a Derby contender. And it was interesting that he ran in the Linkfield Derby trial and was supported at one stage into about 14-1, ended up going off at 22-1, didn't run at all that bad. Finished fourth that day. Military Order won it. Waipuru was second. Circle of Fire was third. I thought it was a reasonable enough run. He got a Racing Post rating of 99 for that. He went to Ascot on lightning quick ground and just... he actually travelled beautifully to about the 3-furlong pole and then just found nothing. That Tom Marcand actually accepted the situation. That was the Golden Gate Stakes. Burdett Road, who actually won over hurdles the other day, won it, okay? And then I love what happened afterwards, okay? He was gelded afterwards, okay? And he missed about 2 or 3 months. Came back at Newbury and ran a real eye-catching race, I thought, on his comeback. Then, look, I thought he was far too keen next time at Newmarket, but he finally became a man last time at Newmarket. Just the other day, would you believe, it was last Friday, Kieran Fallon popped out and he actually came into the bridle. He travelled beautifully through the first part of the race, was in his comfort zone, and yes, he got an easy lead out in front, but he finished the race full of running. They came to him and he went away again. That was over a mile and two. A mile and two is the bare minimum of what he wants. The extra 2.5 furlongs here is made for Laffy. I couldn't believe earlier on the week when he was 7-1. Now he's 9-1. I just think we haven't seen the best of him yet. He's a group horse running the handicap. He's only £6 higher now than the mark he won off at Newmarket. I think he'll be fine on this surface at Newcastle. And I think he'll win, Robbie Wilders.
Bravo. One hell of a case, mate. I think you need a drink of water after that, don't you? I'm gonna echo Parky.
After all that, Jesus Christ!
I can't change my mind off the cuff, can I? I mean,
how did you know I was going to pick Caffey then?
Because I sort of know how your brain works. Like you see a one next to a horse's name and you get excited. Nah, that's rude. I think you made a cracking case there, to be fair, mate. But like Parky, my notes are all about local dynasty. Just think he's been quite unlucky in a couple of handicaps he's running this season. He didn't get much of a run at Royal Ascot in the Golden Gates behind Burdett Road. Similar issues again on the July course in that big handicap there. I think he's definitely on a decent mark of 101. I think he is going to be running in group races eventually. And the fact that, like we've been saying, the Appleby stable is back in form. He's been kept fresh for this. I like freshness at this time of year. I thought he might have been put away to go to Maidan in the winter. But yeah, I think this is a good horse, and he can get the job done. Local dynasty.
Okay, two votes for local dynasty, and Laffey is my nap of the weekend. Very quickly, we have two races to preview at Aintree. The Boyle Sports Grand Sefton and Handicap Chase is the first one we're going to look at. It's always a fascinating spectacle, and currently your 130 favourite is Jess Keel, who went so close last year for Oliver Greenall and Josh Guerrero. Fantastic lady, Nikki Henderson and Nico de Boinville, 11-2. Born by the Sea, the Irish Raider for Paul Gilligan is 15-2. Cooper's Cross, 8-1. Nassalam, 8-1. 10-1 Bar. Tom Park, what wins this?
Jess Gill wins this, I hope. I've had a good bet on him already earlier in the week.
What price, Tom? What price?
I think he was 13-2. I backed him up. We've got a good bet there. Maybe he's at 11-2. I'd have to double up check. Anyway, we've got a good bet. I really fancy him. I just think that, he's got a phenomenal record around these fences. Just touched off in the race last year by Al Dancer. Turned out to be a very well-handicapped Al Dancer as well, because he's £10 higher now. So that was pretty remarkable, running that close. He was then second in the Beecher. He was ninth in the Topham, behind Fantastic Lady. But he knows how to get round here. He's just £5 higher than last year's race. Won listed race in Autoy in September. Should have put him spot on for this. You know that this will have been the big target early on in the season. I've kind of mentioned it a few times, but it is important at this stage of the season that you get horses that are really, really targeted for these races. I think Jessica will win. I have a real nagging fear of Nassalam because he's a bit of a cliff horse of mine. I'm sure he's well handicapped and he will win the big one day, but probably when I'm not on him. So I'm just hoping that's not today. But yeah, I'm really quite keen on Jaskiel here. So I'm pretty sure if he jumps round, he's going to take all the beating, and his record over the fences suggests that he's got every chance of doing that. So Jaskiel for me.
Okay, Robbie, I have producer Dave in my ear here. He's saying, wrap it up, get them going. So very quickly, what wins the Grand Sefton?
Keep it quick. Nassalam is a horse that interests me. I think he might be the type that takes to the fences. Sort of put him up a couple of times last season. He's quite frustrating, but when he wants it, he's definitely on a good mark, I think. He likes soft ground. He's got Caelan Quinn claiming five. Caelan Quinn's a very good apprentice for me. His ride on Botox Has was excellent. He wasn't even able to claim his £5 last week. So I think Nassalam is the one for me there, Dave.
Okay, and I like Frere Brambu, who I think will take to these fences because he doesn't get overly high at some of his fences. He sometimes kicks the top of them, and I think that's going to suit these fences. So Frere Brambu for me at around about 11-1. And the final race we're going to look at on a mammoth racing postcast this week is the Boyle Sports ACCA Boost on horse racing hurdle. It's over 2 miles, 4 furlongs. We only have got the three runners. West Balboa, who's doubly entered, of course, is 11-8 favourite. Brewing Up a Storm, who wins, is 15-8. And Miller's Bank is 9-2. Robbie, just tell everybody why Brewing Up a Storm is going to win this.
I'm not sure, mate. He's getting on a bit, isn't he? I think.
He's 10, yeah.
Yeah, nearly 11. I think West Balboa is the sort of rising force in this division. Really impressive last season, particularly at Aintree. Don't know, Brewing Up a Storm. I mean, he fell at the first last year. I'd be a bit worried he's going to throw in. He does throw in the old dodgy leap. West Balboa for me. She's getting a lot of weight from Brewing Up a Storm and is open to a lot more improvement.
Okay, hard luck. Tom, what wins this?
Yeah, you're right, DJ. Bruno Pastore will win this. Westbound Boer, like I said earlier, I had my nagging doubts about Skelton and the form of the stable. I'm certainly not going to back one at a short price. I think she's up against it anyway. Like, her best performances have come big, strong, big field, strong gallop. She's going to get anything but that here. It's back down to 2 mile 4. I just, look, she could be a classy, but I just don't think that, I don't think she's got anywhere near as much in hand as the betting suggests. And Bruno Pastore loves it around Aintree. Yeah, he fell last year, but he won this race a couple of years ago. He's ran some great races here. So yeah, I think Bruno Pastore, this, as we've said, I've said before, goes well fresh. This is going to have been his race for this early part of the season, I think. And yeah, I think he'll take all the beating.
Correct. Two votes for Bruno Pastore, one for West Balboa in that 2.5 mile, 3:20 at Aintree. Before we get to the Nap boys, any other fancies on Saturday, Tom?
No, not really. There's a Potemps qualifier that I'm quite interested in. There's a horse of John Quinn's called Imperial Merlin, that's on my radar for the season. I love the way that he won at Ayr in April. It suggests there's loads more to come. £6 certainly isn't going to stop him. I think he's miles better than that. As ever with these Potemps qualifiers, you've got, they're often better to watch, but I just think, I think he's 127. I think there's definitely more to come from him. It wouldn't surprise me if he becomes a genuine contender for the big one in Cheltenham in March. So he's very much on my radar for the season, Imperial Merlin. That's the 135 at Aintree on Saturday.
Okay. Roberto Wilder, on Saturday? Nothing.
Nothing else.
Zilch. So you started the way you finished. Nothing in the first race we previewed.
Oh, I'm going to finish with a nap now.
I just have one that we haven't looked at. The 145 at Down Royal is a listed Haslam Hotel handicap hurdle. Gordon Elliott has a whole host in here. The one that I like is Magic Tricks. Carl Miller has taken off £7. I think he's turned into a well-handicapped horse. He's still only 7, would you believe? And I think this could be the day that Magic Tricks pulls the rabbit out of the hat. Sorry, that is so bad. Anyway, nap time. It's nap time here on the Racing Postcast, and we will come to you first. Robbie Wilders, what's the best bet of all the racing at the weekend?
Yeah, I might wind up producer Dave for this, but I'm going to nap one on Friday because we filmed these on Thursday.
Oh, Lord.
Is that an issue? I mean, I could throw
it. Sure,
of
course it's an issue. It's of course an issue, but go
on.
I'll
do a Saturday.
No, go for Friday. Right, go on. Fine. What is it?
I'll give you my Saturday one after that. Magical Zoe, 202 at Down Royal Friday.
To beat Irish Point. Whoa.
Yeah, she's getting £13, mate. And she's had a run behind, I think, Irish Point. It's over 2 miles. She's an out and up 2 mile. I'm not sure he is. I think she'll win. Another one. 7 o'clock at Chelmsford on Saturday. Le Rouge Chinois. You might think, why is he doing that? But I don't know if you know.
Yeah,
DJ,
why are you doing that?
Well, because me and Rodders have been doing the RPRs for the stayers on the flat. And this is our last one before we hand it over to the main handicappers for the year. So Le Rouge Chinois. This horse debuted for Mick Appleby a couple of weeks ago. Bought him from Sweden. He was really weak in the betting that day. He stayed on strongly over a mile two into third. His pedigree is all about staying distances. He's up an extra 4 furlongs. And he's got a smart Christian Howard claiming 3 off. I think he's going to win that 7 o'clock at Chelmsford on Saturday night.
What type of price are we talking about here, Robbie? What would you be happy with? What price would you bag Le Rouge?
I'll be looking for 7-2 odd. It's quite a trappy little race, but I think you'll get around that.
Le Rouge Chinois. 7 o'clock Chelmsford Saturday for Robbie Wilders and also Magical Zoe at Down Royal on Friday. Tom Park, sign us off with a winning nap, please.
Yeah, I'll go for the Grand Sept and the 2:45 entry. Jess Giel for me, as we previously mentioned. I think he loves these fences and he's going to take all the beating off a very competitive mark.
Excellent. And everybody will know my nap is Laffy in the November handicap, the 3:45 at Newcastle on Saturday. So that is it, folks. We hope you enjoyed our preview of all the action this weekend on the Racing Postcast in association with the Racing Post Members Club. If you're not a member, please sign up. There's 50% off the first 3 months, so you must become a member. I've been David Jennings. He's been Tom Park. He's been Robbie Wilders. Thanks for watching or listening. Have a great weekend.